When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
While walking the ruins of a post-apocalyptic world, Samurai Jack stops at the wreckage of a bus station to have a quick sit-down. Ashen skies darken the horizon, and the promise of another day is always just lip service at best. It is then that another figure saunters to that same area as the Highlander takes a seat nearby. Don't see many swordsmen around these days, McLeod says. Buddy, you wouldn't believe me, but I'm hundreds of years old, Jack responds. Let's say I do believe you, stranger, and let me add, there can be only one. As the Highlander pulls a sword from his oversized coat and lunges into battle. It's Japan versus Scotland. It's Noble versus Immortal. It's Samurai Jack versus the Highlander today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gabsy, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis.
What's up?
There you go. Today's episode is the ultimate battle, quite possibly the ultimate swordsman. In one corner, you have Samurai Jack, a noble samurai displaced in time, who is on a relentless quest to defeat the shape-shifting demon Aku. And in the other corner, you have Duncan MacLeod, a.k.a. the Highlander, at least one of them, an immortal Scottish swordsman born in 1592, who navigates centuries of battle, seeking to claim the prize by being the last immortal standing. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And here's the thing. So Highlander versus Samurai Jack does exist somewhere, some places online, but it's always in reference to the Connor MacLeod version of the Highlander, not the Duncan MacLeod one. So by definition, this is, again, a unique, never-before-discussed Who Would Win battle for geek culture of the ages, I guess. Legion of Audience, our fan base, you are very welcome. Ray, I gotta know, what are your thoughts on this huge matchup?
Look, for like four seasons now, we've talked about bringing the Highlander in one form or another on the show. We keep putting him in our Patron of the Week polls, and they keep voting for someone else. So we decided, heck with it, we're just gonna do it anyway, because we want it so badly. Even if the people don't want it. We're not here to give the people what they want, James. That's why I keep winning season after season after season. And Samurai Jack, this is a redemption battle, as Samurai Jack has been on the show, as you know, one time before losing to composite Samuel L. Jackson and his entire repertoire of characters. That's a tough battle for anyone. I thought you did a reasonable job with Samurai Jack, but that, let's keep it real, that loss was from the get-go. As far as I'm concerned,
I'm not pointing any fingers. All I'm going to say is that the judge that came on decided to, I don't know, ignore the fact that Samuel Jackson also played Mr. Glass and had all of Mr.
Very
Glass's weaknesses. Very smart guy, but also physically speaking, would get destroyed by Samurai Jack, regardless of all the other versions. But whatever. Listen, in the spirit of Comic-Con, I'm talking about San Diego Comic-Con, where I will be attending doing a lot of great things. That's right. If you see me, come up and say hi. Tell me you're a fan of the show. Explain to me why Ray's still here. Whatever you want to talk about, let's do it. Because I'm in the spirit of San Diego Comic-Con, the most magical, wonderful place in the most magical, wonderful time of year. Now, do we have a judge that also channels and focuses the spirit of San Diego Comic-Con? Someone who will do cosplay in any crazy character we can think of, someone who will embrace geek culture and absolutely do their best to represent themselves and bring gravitas to this huge matchup? We don't. But we do have someone who's pretty awesome. So without further ado, making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's comedian, producer of Comics Watching Comics, and the host of Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast. It's an amazing podcast, by the way. It's the one, it's the only. It's Kevin Gotee. Kevin, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Welcome in, gentlemen. We get sir good. Yeah, James, question for you when you go to Comic-Con. How many bottles of hot sauce do you have to bring so that way you have to dip your finger in it and then put it in your nose to offset the stench of nerds who don't wear deodorant at Comic-Con?
How dare you besmirch the good name of all the attendees of Comic-Con? First of all, the people that go there are fantastic. They're awesome. I'm sure like 20 years ago, if I went, I'd be like the only guy who's actually kissed a girl. But the thing is, now it's a completely different thing. Lots of amazing people there. I will defend the honor of everyone who attends San Diego Comic-Con. I do carry one small bottle of hot sauce, by the way, at all times.
Yeah, two smalls of Tapatio, Kevin, is the answer to your question.
That's true.
I was going to say, are you a salsa rojo or a salsa verde kind of guy? Which, you know, the salsa verde is a little sweet, so that kind of offsets it. The red really punches, kind of clouds your eyes, so the tears can also maybe a barrier for the stenches to waft in any kind of open sensory organs for you. So just good to know. I appreciate all of the trailers and the games that go on there. It's just the clientele needs a mass spray of some kind of body wash and bath and shower in a high pressure situation. Thank you.
I see you're the connoisseur of Comic-Con from days ago or days in the past. Now, here's the deal. You do so many great things. Before we get in this episode, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
Oh, my God. I have created a new sweet little YouTube Shorts channel called Corporate USA Guy, where I mock all of the dumb things that people say and even dumber things that happen in corporate America. Albeit to myself, most of them are a few friends just told me a story. If you like just quick 60, 90 second vignettes of people making fun of corporate America and what a garbage wasteland that can become, go to Corporate USA Guy on the old YouTube. And if you got a story, tag it, go jump in the comments, say, hey, you know what? Here's what happened to me. If I think it's good, I'll punch it up. I'll do it. I'll play it out there. What the hell? And as James said, go check out Gutting the Sacred Cow. Last week's episode, we had Bill Schultz come on, and he decided to eviscerate gangs of New York. By the way, the 5 points, people back then, early turn of the century New York, probably smells as bad as Comic-Con does. There you go. Uh-huh. Boom. Callback.
Both groups of people equally as tough, by the way.
I'll take the Bowery Boys against those Comic-Con fellas any day of the week. Gutting the Sacred Cow on all podcast platforms and the old YT. But like I said, go check out Corporate USA Guy on YouTube. There you go, kids. Love every one of you.
I got to tell you, Kevin, you are an insanely funny individual. I've watched a bunch of them.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I highly recommend it. As someone who is a former corporate America type of person, you know, straight out of, before I even went into college, I started with corporate America, and that's how I paid for college and all that kind of good stuff. I exited a little while ago, and all the
insanely
stuff you put up there.
Insanely jealous of you. Insanely jealous.
It wasn't easy, but I got to tell you, the stuff you put up there, I'm like, so true. Funny, but so freaking true. All right. With all that being said, we have a mega battle worthy of San Diego Comic-Con. It's arguably two of the greatest swordsmen of all time going at it in an epic battle that can only be done the right way on the Who Would Win podcast. Here we go. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Cartoon Network, the samurai who absolutely does know Jack, Samurai Jack. And representing Action Cinema, the immortal who, no matter what the situation, always keeps his head about him, the Highlander.
Well done, Ray. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of the Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all of the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv.
Jim, I just want to say, as a judge, as an impartial judge, I just want to make it clear I want a fair fight, and my Venmo is open at Kevin Goatee. So that's how things get handled in these parts, all just right. So you know.
Do you got take it. McDonald's $5 fry coupon books from Halloween? Can you Venmo those?
I'd love to see that.
You know what? They're great. The only problem is they're from 1976, but you still accept Bitcoin. Isn't that correct, Kevin?
I do. That's a fair trade. That or old McDonald's Happy Meal collectibles.
Oh, like the Transformers that was hotcakes and sausage? Fighting robot?
Like the Batman Forever 4 glasses set where it's Batman, Robin, and the Riddler and Two-Face? Yes, I still have them.
Oh, I have the Charlie Brown ones from back in the 1980s at my parents' house. Oh, yeah.
My parents lost those, but I had them, yeah.
Kevin, you're speaking my language right now. Wow, McDonald's collectibles.
You know what?
Let's go.
A great sidebar about collectibles. And speaking about collectibles, because before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. Again, that's sayword, sayword.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch option to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies. And speaking of collectibles, display them like it's no one's business when you can get our very own Who Would Win proprietary, I guess it's called the Who Would Win versus stand. You can put two characters, two collectibles facing each other, Ronald versus Megatron, whatever battle you could come up with, get it, put it on display with the Who Would Win versus stand, available only at sayword.co/collections.
Sorry. Can I propose a match?
Sure.
How about Ray versus a real grown-up's palate for food?
Ooh.
Oh, I would crush that every single day, please. I eat fancy sometimes, Kevin. How dare you? I also eat unfancy sometimes.
Ray's motto, which I think is admirable, is anything and everything is food if you want it bad enough.
Thank you.
Bear's hungry, he's going to eat.
That's fair. That's fair.
Everywhere's within walking distance if you got the commitment.
We could go on. Yep. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack is a Japanese prince who trained in the way of the samurai to defeat an evil demon named Daku. He was created by Genndy Tartakovsky and was voiced by Phil LaMarr. Samurai Jack first appeared in the premiere movie back in 2001. Now, Jack was on a quest to defeat Aku, but before he could finish him off, Jack was transported deep into the future. A future where Aku had taken over the world and brought it to its knees. Now, Jack roams this dystopian landscape in an attempt to not only defeat Aku here, but go back in time and defeat him there as well. Fun fact, did you know that Jack's design can partly be attributed to science, sort of? Okay, so creator Genndy Tartakovsky worked on a bunch of different shows before Samurai Jack. Tiny Toon Adventures, Batman the Animated Series, as well as others, like The Critic. Mm. One of those stops was on a show called The Powerpuff Girls. And if you look at them side by side, Samurai Jack is the spitting image of Professor Plutonium, the handler of the Powerpuff Girls, from the hair that's pointed down right at his middle of his brow to his squared off jaw. It's hard not to see the resemblance once you're pointed to it. Anyway, that is Samurai Jack.
I love those details. All right, here are the important details, speaking of which, for the Highlander. Now, the version I'm using is Duncan MacLeod. This is the immortal protagonist of the Highlander television series based off the great movie from the 80s, starring Connor MacLeod, of course, and this is a different version, Duncan MacLeod. And Duncan MacLeod made his first appearance in the pilot episode called The Gathering, which aired on October 3rd, 1992. Created by Gregory Wyden, the character was further developed by television producers Bill Panzer and Peter S. Davis. Duncan MacLeod, portrayed by the absolutely amazing Adrian Paul, is a Highlander born in the year 1592 in Glenfinnan, Scotland. As an immortal, he cannot die unless he is beheaded, which has led him through centuries of battles, adventures, and some insane personal challenges. With his exceptional skill in swordsmanship and his unwavering moral code, which he is known for, Duncan navigates the complexities of immortal existence, always striving to maintain his honor and protect humanity from malevolent, I always look at that and say malvolent, that's the French part, forces. And here's an interesting fact about the Highlander. Did you know that Adrian Paul got the role of Highlander by following the Race to Caithness method of acting? It's true. Adrian Paul had a recurring role in the primetime soap, The Colbys, and on the syndicated drama War of the Worlds back in the 80s before auditioning for the role of immortal Duncan MacLeod. According to Paul, when he walked into the casting session, he decided to follow the unconventional and typically highly unsuccessful method of acting from the Race to Caithness School of Acting, where he told producers that you don't have to look any further. You've already found your Highlander. Though Paul said it partly in jest, producers must have liked his confidence because a few months later, he was cast for the role. By the way, I do not recommend using the Race to Caithness method of acting or auditioning. This is the exception that proves a rule. Trust me on this, but feel free to buy Race to Caithness' acting book. Available wherever you
please,
download it.
Oh, please. This works very, very well. That's why I am in so many feature films and not just hosting the Who Would Win show.
The Race to Caithness School of Acting has as much credibility as Trump University.
Wow. Wow. But, you know, does the Race to Caithness School of Acting have Hulk Hogan ripping off a t-shirt advocating for the excellence of Race to Caithness? Just putting that out there.
Well, that's a graduating class. That's a graduating class I've heard.
Oh, to be fair, right. Kevin, nobody's sued me for my acting yet. So I've still got that at least yet.
These are all good things. And now you have the facts of both opponents. Kevin, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, I want to pull the curtain back just a wee, and I'm going to tie in my show selfishly. I texted when Ray told me who the matchup was. I said, this is bad because Ray came on Gutting the Sacred Cow to air his grievances about the Highlander film with Connor MacLeod because it's an egregious stegosaurus turd. So when you said I'm doing Highlander, this is going to be a bad one, but you pivoted. And went with the other Highlanders. So you, sir, did the old Neo dodging a bullet move right there. So I'm very curious to see how this is going to pan out.
I'm surprised that you're surprised that I did that. We've known each other for years. it's just something we do. All right. This is amazing. I am insanely hyped because Comic-Con's coming up. San Diego Comic-Con, I will be there. But more importantly, we've got this great episode. Let's do it. Race to Caithness. Go ahead and hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Samurai Jack. Let's talk about the basics of who Samurai Jack is. Obviously, he's a great swordsman. He's trained in the ways of the samurai specifically to defeat this demon named Aku. Right when he was about to do that killing blow, a magical spell was cast to stop him from doing that. In other words, he would have defeated the boss at the end of chapter one if dirty tricks had not have happened. Consider that when you think about how much more powerful he gets in the future. He was ready to go in at level one for his role-playing character, right? He does not age, though, due to this same magic that propelled him all the way through time. So I believe he is officially 75 years old, but still looks and has the body of like a 25-year-old, much like me. So Jack is a man out of time, but he's also very, very quick to adapt. What I mean by that is he's put into a future where he has, like, you'd be put 100 years in the future, you put 1,000 years in the future, you don't even know what you could possibly expect. If we took somebody from the Dark Ages and put them here in the year 2024, they wouldn't know what a car is, they wouldn't know what a gun is. Samurai Jack does not know what a gun is, but he was able to deflect bullets with his sword despite that fact. And this is it. He's constantly being confronted with technology that might as well be magic that he cannot comprehend and that doesn't stop him from beating these technological marvels and fighting robots and all this other stuff time and time and time again because he didn't get to experience that past. That's the thing. When you're fighting giant robots and you don't know what you're up against, you got to improvise and you still got to take them out. He's not going to know walking in the door who the Highlander is or what his weakness is, but he's adept enough at figuring out on the fly what he's got to do, eventually he will get to the decapitation that he needs to do to bring McCloud down. He's got enhanced senses as well. It feels a little bit close to like Wolverine level of enhanced senses. He was about to drink from a poison well when the guy who was kind of putting him up to it, he heard him sweat and a bead of sweat dropped onto a leaf. Like nearby, and he's like, uh-oh, that guy's nervous, better not drink from this well. That's an outrageous feat. There's nowhere the Highlander is going to be able to go or hide or sneak up on him, because he's just going to hear him, and he's going to know that he's coming every way. And Jack trained with the best, even in that very first episode. He didn't just train with the samurai, he sailed with the Vikings. He went to where the Vikings are, and he learned salesmanship. That's not the word I'm looking for. The point I'm trying to make is, then he went to England and learned archery with Robin Hood. That's a good teacher of archery. And then he learned hand-to-hand from a very powerful African tribesman. So this guy traveled the world to hone his skills to make sure he could be the best at the best at absolutely everything. Meanwhile, the Highlander had 6 seasons on the USA Network. I'm just saying, it's not the same thing. And now he's my other exciting thing. He now knows how to jump good. Maybe my favorite name for a power ever. He learned to jump good, which basically means, if you're familiar with video games, he can do the double jump, where they jump once and then jump on air and then jump again, essentially making it look like he can fly because he launches himself off the air. I don't know how that works. He jumps good, after all. And the final thing, he has the ability, a little bit Black Panther-y in vibe. He can call upon his ancestors for a burst of extra strength when he needs it the most. I don't think he'll need it in this match against the Highlander. I think he'll just body him right out the gate like he's in Tekken 8 at Evo last week. But that's fine. We'll get into more points later. That's my point number one.
All right, I got a lot to push back on this one, even though I love the character Samurai Jack. Phil LaMarr is just magic in his portrayal and in what he does vocally for this character. Look, I do agree that Ray does have the body of a 25-year-old that goes to Hometown Buffet in San Diego Comic-Con. The thing is, you know, whatever, Samurai Jack, really, when you think about it, one of the reasons you love the character is because he's got such big challenges he has to face and big challenges he has to overcome, and that's because he gets hurt. And he gets hurt a lot. And that's because he's battling crazy powerful opponents. I get it, but he gets hurt. And it's not like he's instantly healed. He has to deal with these injuries. It slows him down. He's got to tap into that willpower to overcome. I get it. That's cool. But he doesn't have any extra superhuman ability to heal or to do these extra things. Just putting that out there. It's a little, you know, prefacing what I'm about to bring up for Highlander. His training. I love his training. You know, all of that montage. He's with the Vikings. He's with these powerful people in Africa. He, you know, sees Robin Hood. You got to keep in mind, this guy's what, 25 when he gets shot into the future? He started training as a kid. He's probably got like anywhere from like a month to a few months to a year, which with each of these groups of people who are training him. And that's great. Got to remember, Highlander has been around for what, since 1592? He doesn't have a year here, a year there. He's got a lifetime over here, or a minimum of 10 years of just doing this thing with this specialized martial arts or fighting person or whatever it is. That's a big thing. And finally, the big thing I got to push back in is, because I watched Highlander while I was in Canada, Highlander was also on the WGN, which I believe is that Chicago superstation that syndicates stuff as well. So it wasn't just the USA Network, because in Canada, we didn't get the USA Network, which was a shame. All right, getting to my point number one. For my point number one, let's go over the basics of Duncan MacLeod. Why not? Okay, so of course, Duncan MacLeod's immortal, born in 1592. He's been evading death with style ever since. He's a good looking guy, no denying that. Decapitation is the only way you're going to end his immortality, but that's not happening this way, because that's definitely not Samurai Jack's MO. That's not what he does, his opening salvo or even final salvo. It's just not something he's going to do. Got a healing factor. Let's just call it what it is. You know, if you got a paper cut, Duncan doesn't worry about those. Broken bones, bullet wounds, I don't know, being thrown off a cliff, not a problem. His healing factor really is super fast, pretty much immediate, and helps him recover from even a normally fatal injury within seconds. Remember, he was impaled on a sword, walked it off like a bad hangover. That was cool. Another time, he fell from a skyscraper only to walk away unscathed moments later. I guess his clothes were kind of ripped, which is a shame because he wears nice things, but he himself was absolutely fine. That's going to come into play when you're fighting someone like Samurai Jack. He also, like Samurai Jack, has what I call enhanced senses. You know, because of Duncan's lifespan and his experience, he's developed these senses, his regular senses, to a really high degree. His eyesight, his hearing, his sense of smell, and able to see the world around him really, really differently. And during a battle, his senses, because, you know, they're so enhanced, hands, help him understand the speed and power of the attacks coming at him and giving him a distinct edge and knowing kind of, you know, what's going to be coming at him, how to overcome it, where to put himself. So he's got those as well. He has low level superhuman strength. It's a fact. So 4 centuries of physical training have turned Duncan into a freaking powerhouse. He can lift, push, and throw with the best of them, making him one man wrecking crew in one crazy episode of Highlander. Duncan, with some effort, mind you, flipped a car over to save a trapped kid that was underneath it. I gotta tell you, that kid also is pretty tough, being trapped underneath a car, then, you know, having it removed and he gets up and walks away. More on that later. At this point, he's got low-level superhuman speed. You blink, you're going to miss him. Duncan's centuries of training kind of made him insanely fast, especially in a fight. And at this point, his reaction time, his reflexes are also superhuman, because that's what 400 years of fighting and training do for you. Look, take the best martial artists and fighting fighters that the world has to offer right now and give them 400 years to perfect their craft. Yeah, you're getting something quite superhuman. He's also got superhuman durability. I mentioned this before. You know, think of Duncan as a human equivalent of just, like, I don't know, a human-sized tank. His body can take hits that would flatten most people. Car crash is not going to be a problem. Building collapse, just another Tuesday for him. He's the ultimate crash test dummy that always walks it off like it was nothing. That was something that was said about him during the series. Like that time he survived an explosion without a scratch. Again, his coat was singed, and that's a shame because it was a nice coat. He walked through a plague-ridden village without even a sneeze. Do you think the Highlander's ever going to get COVID? No, he won't, because of his healing factor. Samurai Jack, yeah, he's getting COVID if he gets too close to it. And Duncan's pain tolerance is off the charts. Surprise, surprise. Again, hundreds of years of training, getting hit, getting stabbed, whatever. Now he can take pain like a badass. It is nothing to him. This is just something he's going to walk through in case anything happens. His knowledge, his intelligence, crazy high. Living for over 400 freaking years means he picked up a thing or two, or maybe a million things. I don't know. He's a walking, talking history book. He's got insane strategies, insane experience to pull upon. This is not someone who's going to be caught by surprise by someone with a samurai training, Robin Hood tactics, Viking, whatever. He's seen it all because he's done it all and been there. Look, also with all of that Cedric's experience, he's got this crazy intuition. It's almost like a sixth sense. He predicts movements. He can sense danger. He can read intentions with eerie accuracy. When he's fighting, he knows what someone's about to do and knows how to circumvent it. Also, his knowledge and hand senses give him have given what I call a genius EQ. His emotional intelligence is off the charts. He can read people like no one's business. It's almost like he has telepathy, but he just reads body language, intentions, facial expressions, words, whatever it is. And he's like, yeah, I've been through this a million times. I know what you're about to do. I can tell you're putting on a facade, or you're trying to trick me. You're about to try to get me look somewhere else or whatever, divert my attention. I got this. I invented this trick, or at least I know the person who did invent it. Look, all of this is why Duncan MacLeod is now the last immortal standing and is, like, you know, the person that everyone else goes to for help. That's my point number one.
Look, I've had Dunkin' Donuts that were more durable than Duncan MacLeod, quite honestly. You mentioned he got trapped under a car with a kid, and the kid was also fine, which means that you basically established that Duncan MacLeod has the durability of a small child. Congratulations, James. That was a real cosmically good point right there. Look, there's a huge difference between these two in that you're right. Duncan MacLeod did spend large amounts of time over his life doing training, but you got to remember, people weren't that good at sword fighting back then. Like, how strong has the fight game evolved, James, in your knowledge, even in just the last 30 years? He did it, like, through what, the Dark Ages? Like, there wasn't a lot happening back then. People weren't improving. Technology wasn't getting better. Meanwhile, Samurai Jack was forced into a far-flung future where he went from fighting, like, villagers, you know, in the rice paddies of feudal Japan, to fighting kaiju-sized robots. There's a big difference in opponent that you're not addressing.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Who knows? But let's see what our judge has to say. Kevin, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Oh, my God. You two are playing that cutesy-poo game of say something nice about your partner. Like, you guys are both in marriage counseling. And it was just a nice little round rag in a circle jerk. And it got cute until Ray said, hey, you know what? I forgot this is a debate. So thank you, Ray, for stepping up and starting a little bit of mudslinging here to make this fun and spirited. Right now, my scorecard has everything dead squat even. These are two very similar style heroes and what they offer, except one of these franchises had Clancy Brown in it. The other one didn't.
You know what? I don't know if Clancy Brown would, like, voice some character in Samurai Jack. I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, be very careful what you say right there.
I know.
Because
that's
I think
why
there's a very legitimate chance that he was. I will find out that information for you.
Cool. All right, we'll figure this out. Look,
Clancy Brown voiced. Oh, that's Savage Opress. That's something else. Why is that in Samurai Jack Wiki?
But he's in. Look, but he's in Highlander Wiki though.
Yeah,
he is.
That'd be a great battle. Is Duncan versus the Kurgan? That would be amazing. Okay, listen, we're all over the place. We got to focus. This battle's heating up.
He voiced the dragon in Samurai Jack. There we go.
I knew it.
He did, in fact, appear. I had a feeling there was an almost 100% chance he was in there somewhere.
I know, and that's great, because Phil LaMarr was actually never in Highlander the series with Duncan.
No, but he was in Pulp Fiction.
That's true.
So
yes.
And Spider-Man 2. That's true. All right, listen, this battle is heating up.
Futurama.
This battle is Race to Canis. Focus. This battle is.
And Mad TV.
I forgot about Mad TV. And Static.
With Will Sasso.
He was in Static Shock, but voiced Static.
Guys, it's no longer who would win. It's now the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game.
That's right. With Phil LaMarr, who's a national treasure, by the way. All right, listen, this battle is heating up. Stay tuned for point number two.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
And we're back. Ray, do what you do best. Hit us with your point number two.
We always get so derailed when Kevin is the judge on the show, and I am here.
You're welcome.
I love it.
Absolutely. Okay, point number two for Samurai Jack. We're going to talk a little bit about his gear. We're going to talk a little bit about it because he carries a very important thing that I don't think the Highlander has any answers for, right? And that is his sword. Highlander has no doubt a decent sword, but Samurai Jack's sword was crafted by the literal gods of Odin, Ra, and Vishnu. That is three separate pantheons represented to craft one magical sword that is indestructible and one of the sharpest blades in all of fiction. You know what you really need besides a good technique and good strength to decapitate someone with, which is a great sword. And the fact that his sword is completely indestructible and has been used to slash through like automobiles, one-shotting automobiles with your sword, or giant robots, and you go through and you cut them clean through one shot, no problem. I've never seen the Highlander as skilled a swordsman as he is. He always seems to take lots of shots in order to actually like cut through anything. Have you ever seen Highlander in like the TV show, like cut through like a porcelain like support or cut through a cart of some kind in one shot? No, because his sword and technique are not up to the standard of Samurai Jack. It's apples and oranges here. But not only the sword, because a Highlander uses his sword. I don't think he uses a lot of other weapons. James, correct me, because I have no idea. I'm just saying things. But Samurai Jack can also use a bow and arrow, as I said. He trained with Robin Hood, so he can shoot a bow and arrow from a distance, which is a great way to slow down a character like Highlander. You drop him like he's Ace Ventura with the two shots right there in his thighs, and you slow him down to get ready for that inevitable headshot. But he's also learned the modern weapons as well. He's learned how to use grenades, and he carries a belt of grenades around him underneath his cloak. When he fought the Daughters of Aku, I believe there were seven of them, I believe the way that he kind of got over was ripping off his like jacket or gear or whatever, and then throwing a bunch of grenades down, which they were not prepared for, and then darting away while explosions happen. That's a good way to win a battle. That was also a cheap way to get a kill in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, for those of you who remember. The point I'm trying to make here, he'll use modern weapons. He'll use grenades. He'll use guns, machine guns, rocket launchers even. He is not afraid to take the technology of the far future and use it. Highlander doesn't exist in the far future, right? Highlander exists now. And basically before now, really, if you look at where the TV show took place, that really hampers his ability to, one, understand even the technology that Samurai Jack has become accustomed to, but also he's not prepared to deal with a guy firing rocket launchers at him, right? He just doesn't. And my other favorite thing that Samurai Jack did, he became the light ninja. He tore parts of his robe and he tied them around himself, which exposed parts of his body. What this did for him, it turned him into a light ninja, allowing him to blend in with the light, making himself nearly invisible during sunset. And I guess dawn as well, according to the doc that I read. And that's the thing. He's a guy much like, you know, ninjas will like get enraptured in darkness and you can't see him. He does this in the light, and he becomes invisible during the light, which allows him to use stealth techniques as well as his ninja training during light as well when he can't be seen. And I'm sorry, if the Highlander can't see you, it does not take a whole heck of a lot to sneak up behind him and go boop, boop, and the head's gone. It's just too much that the Highlander doesn't have an answer for, and that's my point number two.
Wow. 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 Holy highly selectivism at play, Batman. Okay, let me push back. Now, first of all, Samurai Jack's fantastic, but the reality is he's been disarmed. He's been disarmed. His sword's been taken out of his hand quite a few times during the series by both opponents with swords and kind of that melee weapon and opponents without. On top of that, how dare you? How dare you denigrate and put down the Highlander's sword skills? He not only trained with, he trained with the masters of the past 400 years and then improved on their techniques to beat them. This is not someone who you got to take lightly. On top of that, you know, you talk about a belt for the grenades. Yeah, you're talking about what happened in the pickup of Samurai Jack that took place many years after the original season. It continued many years later. Great series, by the way. And now he's kind of going like Mad Max a little bit. The grenades, all that kind of stuff. He doesn't have a rocket launch or whatever. Grenades, yeah, that was a one-time thing. And by the way, he still lost and got captured by the Daughters of Aku. Just putting that out there, spoiler alert. Highlander's fought in so many wars. He's used grenades. He actually has used rocket launchers. He knows everything about modern day warfare because that's who he is. He's a warrior of the ages, but he prides himself on keeping up to date on the most up-to-date contemporary stuff you can use for war. He knows how to use it. He has fought against it, and he has done great against all of it. Light Ninja, I actually love that episode. It was great. Here's the thing. Duncan MacLeod knows how to use the light and the sun to blind people with it. He also knows how to fight against it and not be susceptible to it in the first place. Again, someone with combat training of over 400 freaking years, someone who has trained in Japan with the masters, Light Ninja is not going to catch him by surprise. All right, for my point number two.
These masters were so good that Duncan trained with them and then immediately killed them afterwards. They're so talented. Oh, they must have taught him so much that he whacked each one of them when he was done training. Please.
Well, one was over because they both liked the same woman. Another one decided to take over the world and not play the game of the immortals and said, no, let's just take over the world. So he had reasons for why he had to do it. He's just that much of a badassery to Canis. All right, now let's talk about my point number two. And speaking of badassery, from point number two, let's talk about the badassery of Duncan MacLeod, shall we? Now, firstly, again, he's a master swordsman. He isn't just good with a sword. He's practically a sword whisperer from the katana to the broadsword. If it's got a blade, he's mastered it. He's probably got a collection that would make any medieval knight jealous. Remember that time he took down three opponents with a single swipe of his sword? Yeah, he did that. He's that good when he does it. And at any time, he's got his insanely powerful and very, very sharp katana on him at all times, created by a Japanese swordsmaster from hundreds of years ago. He's also got hundreds of years of training. Look, four centuries of practice makes perfect. He's trained with samurai in Japan, fencing masters in France, brawlers in back alleys. He's picked up every fighting style imaginable and probably invented a few moves along the way. He's the original mixed martial artist, just with more kilts, fewer referees. And by the way, he spends a lifetime with people, or at the very least, maybe 10, possibly 20 years, gaining their secrets and improving upon what he has learned. Look, he's the ultimate weapons master. His weapons arsenal is like a historical tour of combat. You know, he can use anything from swords, daggers, staffs, even the occasional battle axe. He's used them all. That time he fought with a bow staff against a sword master who was coming at him, another immortal. Pure poetry in motion, of course, he beat him with the staff and then used the sword and took the sword away from him and killed him with it. Look, he's also got that healing factor in combat. I gotta bring this up again because he uses that healing factor as part of his fighting style. In one memorable occasion, he's fighting someone who stabs him straight through his gut. So what's he do? He stays there, grabs his opponent, pulls him into him, further stabbing himself on that, impaling himself on that sword. The sword master's like, wait, what are you doing? And Duncan's like, I just had to get close. Whack, beheads him right then and there. Because guess what? He heals. For some reason, the immortal he was fighting didn't know that. That's a win for him. He knows how to use his healing factor as a fighting technique. Again, he's got that enhanced strength in combat. He just, you know, his strength's not just for show. He can parry blows that would knock a regular fighter in the next week. And when he hits back, opponents feel it. He broke a sword with his bare hands. Okay, that is crazy because these immortals don't just have a target type of sword that you get at Walmart, whatever it is. These are insanely durable, very sharp objects, swords that have to last for centuries of combat. And in one fight, Duncan caught the sword, just did a double hand clap, and then broke it with his bare hands. This guy's a badass. Again, he's got that superhuman combat speed. Look, speed is essential in a fight. Duncan's got it in spades. He's disarmed opponents before they knew what was going on. These are immortal opponents with sometimes over 1,000 years of combat training in the weapon in their hand at the time. And they don't even realize what's happening before they're disarmed. He once took down a dozen attackers in what's called a blink of an eye and still had time to check his hair, because back in the day, I think still now, Adrian Paul had really cool slick back black hair in a ponytail, you know, 90s style. It was cool. He's got unparalleled battle strategy. Look, he's been around the block in the battlefield a few times. He's got strategies for every situation. Outnumbered by many immortals, each with over 1,000 years of combat experience, no problem. He figures a way out of it. Need to rescue a damsel in distress while fighting off ninjas? That's a thing. Well, he's got a plan for that too, and he actually did that. He's also great at improvisation. Look, you're not going to see him at the improv, but this guy can do everything with anything. He's like the MacGyver of martial arts. He's that guy who fought about 10 attackers at once with a frying pan, because why not? That's what immortals can do, and a frying pan was there. I guess it was a kitchen kind of style combat situation. Also, he's got that combative agility and acrobatics. He moves like a cat. If cats could somersault, that is, and backflip and land a spinning kick to your face. He once flipped over a moving car to land a perfect strike and looked great doing it. Not saying I got a man crush on Adrian Paul back from the Highlander days, but yeah, I'm just gonna admit it, I absolutely do. He's a master of the intoxicating mind fog, aka psychological warfare. Look, sometimes the best weapon is a little mind game. We know that. And Duncan's been known to taunt and trick his opponents, throwing them off balance before going in for the kill. And Samurai Jack actually has fallen for people's tricks and deceptions, verbal deceptions before, and that's got him into a lot of trouble. Look, Duncan once convinced a rival, another immortal at least hundreds of years old, that Duncan had somehow forgotten his own sword during the fight. And at the very end, when he got close to the opponent, he's like, oh, by the way, I was screwing with you. Open up the jacket. Here's my sword. Whack, behead him. Got the win. Look, there's a great thing that just happened in a recent Batman comic storyline where Batman takes on this opponent called Vandal Savage. Now, Vandal Savage is, you know, an immortal being, and he's been training and fighting in martial arts for generations, what have you. So Batman's super confident in his fighting. He's Batman. He takes him on and gets absolutely wrecked. And Vandal Savage just leaves him on the ground. He's like, you're defeated. You're nothing to me. And as he walks away, Batman's like, oh my God, Vandal Savage has had generations to train martial arts. You know, something that would take a year or whatever to learn in sort of a style for Batman, which is really quick. Yeah, I'd have to spend 100 years learning what Vandal Savage knows for these techniques. There's no way I can keep up. That's the exact same thing that's happening for this fight with Samurai Jack, with, I don't know, 50 years of training versus 400 freaking years of combat training by Duncan MacLeod. That's my point number two.
All right, hold on. You're saying a lot of nonsense over here. I mean, I like that you referred, said to yourself, in what's called the blink of an eye. Yes, James, I too understand idioms as well. And I would argue the best swordsman in the 1600s wouldn't even rank in the top 100,000 swordsmen in the year 2000, okay? People learn from generation to generation and get better and better and better, and they don't have to be alive 400 years in order to do so. It's not that complicated, James, because he learned from trash swordsmen over and over again. Doesn't make him great. It means he's better than the trash swordsmen of his generation. And of course, Samurai Jack has fought off full forces before and defeated several ninjas at the same time. He fought an entire like army of robot beetles before. Not a thing I think Highlanders ever had to deal with. And I like that you referred to him as the Sword Whisperer, because I've seen him fight on the TV show, and he fights a lot like Cesar Millan. Let me just say, I've seen Highlanders fight before, and it's sad. It's really, the choreography will just say, could use some work. Now, he's been defeated in battle and almost killed several times. You know, he got defeated against a guy named Grayson, where I have a list here of times he got his butt handed to him. He had to do a no-look behind-the-back sword block that would never work in real life, but somehow pulled it off. He fought a guy named Reinhardt during a New Year's Eve party, and Reinhardt inexplicably stabbed him in the shoulder instead of finishing him off when he had the chance to. No, I can't understand why that happened. Samurai Jack would not make that mistake. And then there's a guy named Sendaro. He got Duncan got his foot trapped in train tracks, and if it wasn't for fortune that Sendaro was so stupid, he got his sword touching the third rail of the subway and got electrocuted. Duncan deserves to lose over and over and over again, and dumb luck's his way through it. He ain't gonna have that kind of luck against a guy like Samurai Jack, let me tell you.
Again, selective questioning, and how dare you? Actually, a lot of the swordplay for back then is still held as examples of excellent swordsmanship and stunt fighting.
Maybe
today.
In just the Princess Bride.
I was okay, Legion of Audience. I actually forced myself to watch Princess Bride. The movie was actually really good. The sword fighting, I guess for the time, was fantastic, but compared to like what Samurai Jack and Highlander do,
You're making my point for me, James.
I know, especially Highlander with what he does with the swordsmanship. It's fantastic. All right, look, we are at the turning point. Kevin, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points for both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, I think Ray's ahead right now only because James Gavsey said The Princess Bride's a great film. It stinks. In fact, I did it on Getting the
I'm
Sacred Cow.
I'm just trying to be nice. Listen, it's got Andre the Giant in it, so, I love Andre the Giant. I'm not saying it's a great movie. Look, come on. Really?
I'm saying it's a terrible film. Go listen to Getting the Sacred Cow and hear why that's the case. Look, I hate when you guys pick two characters that are so similar. You might as well pull out Solid Snake and Snake Plissken for your next one because it's the two the same year. These guys are neck and neck. I'm not finding any area where anyone's really pulling away here, except when James goes on a Batman tangent, I go down and smoke 2 cigarettes. And by the way, I don't smoke, so that almost made me start smoking, James. Let's keep this thing tidy and wrapped up neatly. All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate that. But otherwise, no, it's a dead heat we got going on here.
Look, all I'm going to say is Batman's a lot like Jell-O. There's always room for more. We all know this. All right, listen.
Even Batman and Robin with George Clooney, I would disagree.
No, that's horrible.
That's where the Golden Corral needs to cut him off.
Yeah, no one needs that at all whatsoever.
The Golden Corral even thinks about cutting me off. I'm going to have words with the regional manager. Get me a wheelbarrow so I can get to my car, Golden Corral.
Wow.
Listen, if you're not puking from eating, you're not trying hard enough.
Thank you. That's what they say,
right?
You know what? We should have a fight. Golden Corral versus Hometown Buffet. You know who wins? All of us. Thank you very much. Listen, this is heating up. This battle's about to get crazy because we're both about to bring it for our next point. Stay tuned for point number 3. And we're back. Ray, we're at a dead heat as usual. This is where everything happens. Go ahead and hit us for your point number 3.
Point number 3, we're going to outline some of the big things that Samurai Jack has dealt with in his universe. Because you got to keep in mind that Highlander is more grounded in reality than Samurai Jack is. I don't want to outright say Samurai Jack has Toon Force, but he double jumps, for God's sakes, all right? You ain't never going to see Highlander doing stuff like that. And Highlander is fighting other immortals who fight with, like, swords, right? Samurai Jack is fighting all kinds of different opponents. In all different ways of all different life types, robots and what have you. So here are some of the big things that have happened in Samurai Jack's world. He once got crushed by like a 7,000-pound sumo. A gigantic sumo fighter fell on top of him and everybody was like, well, that would break every bone in his body. That would kill him. But he was able to crawl out. And in this particular episode, he said, I'm not going to fight him. How did he win? Tickling. He tickled the man to submission. And I think that is a very viable strategy against a 7,000-pound sumo. He once got crushed by a giant centipede that fell on him as well, and he once got crushed when buildings fell on him. None of this seems to affect Samurai Jack in the slightest. And I've seen Duncan MacLeod. What is he, like 5'10"? I'm just saying, it's not going to matter if he tries to put his weight on him, right? Of course, Samurai Jack has easily dodged gunfire, as well as deflected it. He once beat a Viking warrior who had got it through magical spells, had his soul put in the body of a lava giant, essentially a gigantic monster lava giant with the skills of a Viking warrior. That sounds like the kind of thing that Highlander wishes he could fight or run away from. And Samurai Jack was able to beat him. And he's much more adaptable in situations where he doesn't have the edge. Remember, Samurai Jack is like the most wanted man in his universe. And everybody knows who he is. And people are constantly plotting to trick him, to trap him, and to get him in a bad place where they can kill him, right? He once fought against 3 blind archers. And these archers, I don't know how they did it exactly, but they were daredevil, right? Their other senses were enhanced. And they were some of the greatest archers of their world, and he was getting wrecked by them until he decided to blindfold himself and rely on his extra senses, believing them to be better than the 3 blind archers, and he was able to take them out. He's got lots of wins over his future frenemy known as the Scotsman, who's a much larger fighter than him, who has a lot of training as well, including defeating the Scotsman in a dramatic thumb war. Yes, I said it. He fought on a bridge against the Scotsman, I believe, in their first encounter. Don't quote me on that. But they fought for days. He has the endurance to fight for literally days. They ended up handcuffed to each other somehow during the battle. And neither one wanted to let the other one pass the bridge because they were being ridiculous. And then a robot platoon came out and they just turned and immediately wiped out the robot platoon. Not a situation I think Highlander would get himself out of. Of course, you know, if it happens to a character, I'm going to mention it. He once fell from orbit, landed on the Earth, and was absolutely fine. He once cut all 3 heads off of a Hydra at one time, one swing, low difficulty. My favorite, the water drop moment. There was a squad of hitmen prepared fully and trained fully to kill him in an ambush. And in the time it took for one drop of water to fall off of a leaf and hit the ground, he massacred everyone. That's a speed feat Highlander doesn't have answers for. He defeated Demongo the Soul Catcher by freeing all the souls that he had trapped. He beat Aku's daughters, 7 of them. And of course, he killed Aku himself and purged his soul, changing the future timelines. These are things the Highlander cannot match up with, as he just finds really bad swordsmen and cuts their heads off. Congratulations. If you put me back in the 1500s, I could probably do that too if you give me a tiny bit of training in the year 2024. And that's ultimately my point number 3.
I don't know what you've been drinking. Maybe it's
Pepsi Max, James. Yes, you do.
Okay. You got to lay off, right? Because some of this nonsense you're throwing my way is horrific. Listen, you know, the fact that he got crushed by a giant sumo, a centipede, whatever, and he beat someone by tickling. Okay, let's just take out the tickling. That's absolutely whatever. That's a thing, I guess. Yeah, let's say this exact same thing happened to the Highlander. Guess what? He's getting out, except he's not hurt. And if anything did break, whatever, it heals instantly. This is the difference. This is what Race to Cadence is not really talking about. He lands from orbit. He survives. That's cool. But he was absolutely screwed up when he landed from orbit. He was not absolutely fine. Absolutely impressive. Insanely great. But he was hurt. It did take him a while to get better from that. And that's the difference between these two characters. Duncan might take some damage, but it'll take the pain. It'll be fine. And then he heals right away. Again, there's one way to kill Duncan MacLeod. A lot of ways, unfortunately, to hurt and kill Samurai Jack, who has been beaten and captured quite a few times. And again, this win over Aku. Yeah, Ray, you left a little thing out. He actually had help. It was one of the daughters of Aku who decided to side with Samurai Jack, and they both took him on. By the way, Samurai Jack's sword is a great sword forged by the gods, and it absolutely wrecks and hurts very badly and slices anything over that is evil. But against regular things that are not evil, guess what? It's a regular sword. That's the key to all this. So just pushing back a little bit on all that. Now, let me get to my point number 3, and all this is going to be very clear. For my point number 3, let's just talk about the quickening. Okay, the quickening is something you can't talk about for Highlander without, you know, mentioning this. The quickening is essentially the transfer of life force and power from one immortal to another when one of them is beheaded in the battle. Look, it's like a supernatural, energy boost. It's a mystical transfer of power. And again, this occurs when an immortal claims the head of another, like cuts off the head of the other in battle. Lightning starts coming down from the sky. Mother Nature itself is like, cool, I'm signifying the moment with this crazy electrical storm. Take their power and become more powerful. Look, and this energy isn't just like generic power, right? It's not just a whatever. It includes, look, the knowledge, the skills, the experiences of the immortal who just died. Imagine downloading like some kind of centuries-old encyclopedia directly into your brain where you can access and use all of that knowledge right away. And each quickening really significantly increases Duncan's physical and mystical strength. This is cool. So every time he has a victory, he becomes more invincible, more unstoppable. He's faster. He's stronger. It's like leveling up in a video game, but with higher stakes. He also gains the skills and the fighting techniques of the defeated immortal. If he beheads a master swordsman, he instantly becomes even more proficient with his own sword, and this constant like acquisition, for lack of a better term, of skills made him pretty much the most versatile and deadly of all the immortals, who are all insanely versatile and deadly to start off with. And the quickening transfers the memories and experiences of defeated immortals as well, so this makes him wiser, more knowledgeable about history, about fighting, about experiences, everything you need to become a better fighter. He gets that, and he does that over and over again. And by the way, fun little fact, it also enhances his healing ability. He can heal faster every time he gets that quickening from, you know, beheading another immortal. All right, now to put this in perspective, Duncan has beheaded hundreds of immortals during his time, and of the immortals he's beheaded, many of them have beheaded dozens, if not hundreds, of other immortals. You get where I'm going with this? Now remember, Duncan, I guess, he beheaded Connor McLeod in the original Highlander from the classic 80s movie. There's a spinoff movie from the series called Endgame, of all things, and he beheads Connor McLeod, and that time he had beheaded 175 immortals when he did all this kind of good stuff, Connor had that. So Duncan got all that power. It was crazy. Then they fought the baddest of all the badass immortals, a character named Jacob Kell. He had beheaded 681 immortals and was considered the most powerful of all the immortals of all time. And Duncan just beheaded him with the help of Connor McLeod's power that he got. Again, I'm not doing all this math, but all of a sudden he's got like hundreds of direct kills who have also got people. You see where I'm going? This is synergy. This is compound interest working its magic, and Duncan McLeod gets even all of that thing. But the cool part is, see, just like Ray said about Samurai Jack, he's fought some crazy powerful people, so has Duncan McLeod. Now, in a later season of the Highlander series, Duncan fought and defeated, I gotta remember, should make sure I pronounce this properly, an actual demon called Ahriman. Right? So it's an actual demon, Middle Eastern demon who returns every 1,000 years to just wreak havoc on the world, try to destroy it, and you can only stop Ahriman if you can physically and spiritually defeat him. After a really long battle, Duncan destroyed the demon both physically and spiritually. Don't know how that worked, but that was the thing. So he beat an actual demon who wants to destroy the world. And in the epic, and I'm using epic in air quotes because it was anything but, Highlander film called The Source, Duncan McLeod fights this character called the Guardian, and he defeats him. Now, the Guardian is an immortal who's well over 10,000 years old, and he protects what's called the Source, this type of universal energy thing, who gave the Guardian super speed, super strength, super durability. He couldn't fly, but he had flash-like speed. He had insane super strength, crazy durability, and the Guardian fights Duncan, and Duncan takes it to him so much that the Source is like, you know what, Duncan McLeod, you're awesome. Have some of that energy. And all of a sudden, Duncan McLeod in this movie now has the same super speed, super durability, all that kind of good stuff, defeats the Guardian, goes into the Source, and the prize he wins is the fact that now he can actually have kids because the immortals can't have kids. It's just a weird movie. I'm just saying that stuff happened. Now, why is this last fight important? Because Samurai Jack also fought a very similar opponent called, believe it or not, the Guardian. And the Guardian was protecting a time portal that would have allowed Samurai Jack to go back in time to his original time back in Japan where he was before he got whisked out into the future. And so as he fights the Guardian, who had a similar power set to the Guardian that Duncan McLeod fought, the Guardian actually beats and then captures Duncan McLeod in a very similar situation. With the same name opponent, with similar powers, Samurai Jack lost. Duncan McLeod came out ahead. This is crazy important. Look, as great as Samurai Jack is, he's well-trained. He's a powerful human. I get it. Duncan McLeod, he's insanely more trained, healing factor, hundreds of years of training, low-level superhuman abilities, and this is all before he gets the power of the Source. He has, like, flash-like speed and durability and insane strength. Look, this is why, I'll put all this together, that's why Samurai Jack loses. That's why Duncan McLeod wins, and that's why, in the end, there can be only one. Of course, that's Duncan MacLeod. That's my point number three.
I have, James, you got to have to forgive me. The only Highlander I've seen is Highlander 2. I thought they were all aliens. How come you didn't talk about that at any
there's
point?
There's no such movie as Highlander 2. There's Highlander.
It's called The Quickening. What?
Okay. Nope,
that's a lie, Racy Kinnis. You saw Highlander and came on Gutting the Sacred Cow to talk about how much you hate it.
You know what? For the sake of the bit, I was willing to lie. It's true. So you mentioned Samurai Jack's sword having a weakness, and you said, oh, it can only hurt evil. That's not exactly true. It cannot hurt the innocent. And if you're going to sit here and pretend that Duncan MacLeod, who was beheaded, you said, 170 people, is innocent, you and I will have different notions on what that word means. Now, you mentioned the quickening. It's a wild thing that happens with the electrical storm. Are you positing a world where he kills an immortal mid-fight with Samurai Jack and has a quickening happen? Because otherwise, it doesn't matter. That's ridiculous. And according to Connor MacLeod on the TV show, your healing factor is great. But if you get decapitated, it's over. And limbs cannot be regrown. So you sitting here pretending he has a Wolverine Deadpool level healing factor is ridiculous. Fatal wounds in the Highlander universe will put down a Highlander regardless of how they are. They will eventually come back if they still have their heads. But their healing factor will not prevent them from quote unquote dying, which is a way to win a who would win match, James. And if you die, it doesn't even matter. Death is a victory condition. And putting down a Highlander only for him to come back next week, that's a win on this show as far as I can see. At the end of the day, Samurai Jack has just been around much longer, fought too many different types of characters, and has too much minor level toon force, and has the feats that Highlander just can't match up with. He easily wins this fight. I'm ready to go.
Toon force for Samurai Jack, not ever associated before, except on the Who Would Win show by Race to Canis.
Anybody who double jumps off the air, it's hard to argue he doesn't have some kind of toon force.
That's actually a tactic the gymnastics team knows how to do. Maybe not as high. Anyway, listen, Kevin.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. You see double jumps in the Olympics, James, where they jump once and then jump a second time off the air? Paris is going to be off the hook this week.
There's a double jump kind of technique. It's legit where you jump, pump your legs. You're not going full height or whatever to try to get a little bit higher. You're not going to superhero lengths or whatever, but it's a thing. You know what? You'd see many wonderful athletic type of capabilities for people if you went to something called the gym. And when you're there, you'll see a whole bunch of stuff. In fact, you could even participate. Okay, you know where I'm going with this. All right, Kevin.
Stop it. That's outrageous.
It is outrageous. You've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Kevin has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
We got one of our newer patrons. I've decided to honor one of our newer patrons, Redneck Rampage. It feels like the right episode for you to be in the spotlight.
Wow, Redneck Rampage. Okay, here's the deal. When you have someone as powerful, as versatile as Redneck Rampage, there's only one group of opponents you can have him go against, and that's against all of the kaiju monsters on the Rampage video game.
Oh, this is very exciting, because much like Redneck Rampage, the 1997 video game, Rampage is also one of my favorite arcade games to play back in the day. So is he fighting all three of the monsters or just like Lizzie?
All three.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's going to fight all of them. Now, here's the deal about Redneck Rampage you got to keep in mind, is that Redneck Rampage embodies the Southern rebellious nature of our country and also has the same physical prowess as Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Wow. And we all know very famously, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was able to defeat the monsters in the movie Rampage based on the video game, I believe using the power of headbutting. I've never actually seen that movie. Maybe I should. It sounds pretty phenomenal now that I'm talking about it out loud. The point I'm trying to make is these three monsters get to Des Moines, which is like my favorite stage. The fact that the monsters even bother with Des Moines is very, very exciting. It's a lovely city. I've been there once and it blew me away. The parking is wonderful. The point I'm trying to make is they're going to jump on the tallest building in Des Moines, which is roughly 3 stories high. And then all Redneck Rampage has to do is pull out a dynamite-filled blunderbuss-style shotgun, take out the bottoms of the buildings. They will collapse on the Rampage monsters. They will turn back into people, and one of them will eat another one. I don't know. That game's phenomenal. You should go play Rampage. It's great. Otherwise, Redneck Rampage, congratulations. Somehow you won.
That was a titanic battle of a titanic game. I don't know. Rampage is such a great game. And the movie, by the way, is a cinematic classic.
Okay, I believe it. I believe it.
Everyone should see
it. The Rock doesn't make junk. The Tooth Fairy should have been nominated for an Oscar.
Oh,
did you guys know The Rock made a little film based on the mega hit video game called Spy Hunter?
I did not know that. No. I knew about Doom. I thought that's what you were going for. But
no,
Spy Hunter
was made and it got shelved because it's not good.
No,
wait I was all there. I was ready to go. Video game for PlayStation. Was it 2 or 3?
Look, on a sidebar, The Rock is fantastic. Love The Rock, and I actually think he's a great actor. I love his movies, except when he tries to be this inconspicuous spy. How do you look like The Rock and have The Rock's persona and size and be like a secret super spy? How does that work?
One of my favorite bits is from the movie The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, and where they follow in the coattails of Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock, who are super cops, who inexplicably just jump out of a high story window and kill themselves, thinking they'll be fine because they're super cops. It's one of the greatest twists since Steven Seagal died at the beginning of
Executive Decision.
Executive Decision. I almost said Exit Wounds, and I'm like, that's not right. No. Executive Decision. Great movie. Go see it. Steven Seagal, great actor. Don't fight me on this.
I would like to fight Steven Seagal.
I want you to fight
now
Steven Seagal.
Now or 1990 Out for Justice, Mark for Death, Steven Seagal.
2v1, baby.
Yes. Either or. Just saying. I would love to do it. I have my reasons, by the way. All right. Listen, congratulations, Redneck Rampage, if I'm not mistaken. Remember, you two can become a celebrated patron.
We're still talking about that.
All you have to do is go to, it's a Patreon thing. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Kevin, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Do what you do best. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Samurai Jack and Duncan MacLeod, a.k.a. The Highlander.
Do what I do best. I mean, self-promote. You don't want to do that again, do you? Listen. James, you're a smart man. Here's why. You always know to get a laugh out of me by making fun of Ray and how he is averse to the gym, you know, I've done that analogy. I'm not going to do another Comic-Con joke. It's too easy. How about Superman and Kryptonite? All right, we'll make it easy. All right, we'll do that. So that's good play on your part. Well produced. But listen, this has been broken down so many different ways, so many times by anyone who cares. I highly doubt it, but you guys did it. So here we are. I love the mocking of the double jump. Double jump, though, very, very, very applicable in many a game. I can't even remember how many games where I was playing Ninja Turtles with my daughter tonight. The TMT 2, of course, Turtles in Time. We were trying to do a little variation of double jump. So please don't knock the double jump. It is an absolute game changer for all arcade games. We're going to go back to the quickening. We're going to go cite that as a way to win a battle. Then we're going to fight on blade quality, too. I'm really torn on this one. I almost want to let the coin of destiny decide this fate here. Any last words before I pass judgment?
But you're not going to win. Decide this by a coin toss, Kevin.
Am I? No. This one is an interesting one because all of the aforementioned traits you boys have spit out, honest to God, just tit for tat for tit, however you Canadians say it, just like Hulkicized, you know. So we're just going to call that pretty much all dead even. Style points, Connor McLeod, kind of a cigar, wooden cigar Indian fella. I don't know. Not really
Duncan
impressed.
McLeod, you mean?
Duncan McLeod. See, there you go. You keep saying Highlander and that awful, awful, awful film just keeps resonating in my head. All right. So listen, based on who has fought whom, I find that Samurai Jack had a better caliber level of opponents, which is why I give him the slightest of nods in this victory. Ray, God damn it, take a bow.
Look, there you have it. Samurai Jack somehow edged out Highlander for the win. And here's the thing. I actually like this logic a lot, because the one area that I can't say I tried with, you know, the Guardian and the Demon and what have you, but the reality is, you're right, Samurai Jack has fought a much more wide array of different types of supernatural, superpowered, technological opponents that just, you know, Duncan MacLeod would never encounter in his world. So I'm not happy with the decision, although I kind of am, because I love both characters, but I'm okay with it, because that was actually a good point. Did my best I could. Race to Canis, I think you debated masterfully today. Tell Legion of Audience how you feel.
I mean, I think that Samurai Jack's just fighting a lot of Cobra battle android troopers, and that enough will get you a win on the Who Would Win show. The thing I want to say is, one of the early episodes you said of Highlander series was called The Gathering. Is that correct? Now, was that Richard Garfield's card game or Of the Juggalos?
Both venues I want to avoid like the plague.
Two places I may have found myself at one period of time.
Horrible. With goth makeup on, too.
Sir, I don't wear goth makeup. I wear insane clown makeup, and I would appreciate it if you understood the subtle differences.
I refuse to devote any hard drive in my brain to any of either of those different hobbies. Thank you.
The fact that the world and internet doesn't exist at the time when those pictures could have existed has saved me a lot of trouble in my future. I promise you that right now. I feel great about this victory. I do deserve to take a bow. Samurai Jack was a great character that I think James ruined when he took him last time. Absolutely one of the most pitiful performances of a great character, and I was in the room begging to take Samurai Jack, to give him the respect that he earned and deserves. Quite frankly, I am happy for all of you Samurai Jack fans out there to finally get it done right. Kevin, you made a great decision. My voice is nearly gone completely, so I'm just gonna say this: I'm great.
Do you regret your decision even more, Kevin? I mean, it's not too late. You could change your mind just based off of how you feel. I'm kidding. Ray, you got the win. Great job. Kevin, listen, you're awesome to have on the show. You're hilarious. You're great. Love everything you do. Please come back sometime soon. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
You can find me on the old YouTube at Corporate USA Guy, and check out my show, my shorts, Corporate America Horseshit. It's funny. It's quick. You'll probably watch about 3 or 4 of those videos while you're pooping. It's a fantastic watch. I highly recommend it. And of course, Gutting the Sacred Cow for those really long poops, about an hour, hour and a half, where your legs go numb kind of poops. Yeah. And of course, that is where we invite guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate, as the aforementioned James Gavsey and Race to Canis have done on multiple occasions. To pick a film they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument, but the twist being, it must be a widely beloved, critically acclaimed, or financial success. The most recent two episodes have been Iron Man, done by our own Kevin Israel, and Bill Schultz doing Gangs of New York.
Interesting choices. All right, Race to Canis. Congratulations on another very well-earned victory. Again,
I'm wearing the crown, James.
You're wearing I thought Burger King told you not to come back, but good for you for getting it. That's awesome.
This is an off-brand crown. I'm not getting sued again. No tricking me this time.
I just don't know where to go with this racing. Okay, listen, tell everyone where they can find you online.
I am in a rave right now. This is outrageous. I am literally vibrating from the sounds. I'm hoping you can't hear it. Okay, so there's two things I want to say right now. Besides the fact, of course, you can find me on Threads at Almighty Ray 316, the place you should go. I want to say, one, go to the Gutting the Sacred Cow website, podcast feed, find my Highlander episode. Besides the Caddyshack episode, I may have never been as on point and focused and set for destruction as I was in that Highlander episode. I go on about a 40-minute rant where I don't stop to breathe at any one point, and I destroy the Highlander movie, much like I destroyed the Highlander here on this episode of the Who Would Win show. Second off, James is going to be at Comic-Con. I, as you listen to this, will be arriving at the World Board Gaming Championship in the Northeast in Seven Springs, Pennsylvania. So if for whatever reason you find yourself there, don't find me. I don't want to talk to you. Thank you. My privacy.
What game are you playing? Fireball Island?
I'm playing all kinds of crazy Euro-style games and whatnot. It is a Great weekend. I highly recommend it for anyone in that part of the country who like games.
I mean, we're both going to such great events. You're going to that. I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con. Just putting that out there. Lots of parties, lots of cool stuff going on. If you see me, come up and say hi. All right, you can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show. I don't know what's going on. We just broke 85,000 people on our Facebook group. It is nuts.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, again, that's where you're going to go to, you know, suggest a matchup for the show and be part of that insanely growing community. I can't believe what I'm about to say. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads.
How
yeah, we did
about
it.
That?
We're finally on Threads. Lots of room to grow. It's like the Montana of the internet, of social media, Threads.
In other words, we have two senators now. It's amazing.
It's crazy. You can also find
us. And it's not me or James. How'd that happen?
It's crazy.
It's Brent Pope and Robert Clark Chan.
Two wonderful people, by the way. You can also find us on TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcast.
And if you happen to see me at the World Board Gaming Championships, I want you to say hi to James. Give him a call. I will give you his number. You can give him a call, preferably at 3 a.m.
Which of those events are going to have more manifestos than someone's trunk of their car? I have no idea.
Ooh, that's going to be hard.
That's
going to be real hard.
Well, Ray has 8, so that's a good head start.
I prepare.
You prepare. Look, on behalf of myself, Ray Stakanis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're the hosts of Trashy Trashy.
We're a podcast filled with trashy news stories and garbage people.
Did you leave the scene of an accident to go tanning?
Do you refer to wearing the strap down on your Crocs as sports mode?
Have you ordered Domino's online before they even open in the morning?
Are you switching the same AAA batteries from your TV remote to your vibrator instead of just buying more batteries?
Or are you normal?
Check us out wherever you download podcasts.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.